Session number 22163, Reel 2.
Jane, Reel 2. So while you were at Colchester, you did schemes there, did you?
Yeah.
What sort of things? Can you remember?
Well, field exercises, you know, and you sort of go up in big... You got to take certain positions. You were formed up as a group, and then you got to take positions in sort of a mock battles, like sort of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what were you? I mean, you were infantry, so
yeah.
What sort of things were you learning? I mean, you'd learnt some battlefield tactics, had you?
Well, this was more getting into positions, into trenches, and digging slit trenches and things like that, you know, and covering your fire and all that sort of thing. Mainly the rifle it was then, but you had a brain gun you carried in a section, like 7 in a section. Took it in turns to carry that, like, you know. But, yes.
So what sort of battlefield tactics did you learn, you know, about how to get near the enemy and so on?
Well, you had to learn the art of camouflage. How to stick bits of branches and whatever, to blend in and put some on your face, up dark on your face, so you could blend in with the scenery, not to be seen, sort of thing, you know. And then, of course, you had to get there and get yourself into a position. And then the other side were the enemy, and they were trying to do the same to get to you. And so you had to sort of... Then you had umpires, like, to register who was dead and who wasn't dead and all this business. Well, it was interesting, I suppose, yeah.
So did any of them... How long did they go on? 1 or 2 days, or...?
Well, a couple of days sometimes, yeah.
Did you know what you were being trained for? Exactly.
Well, we didn't know where we were going at that stage.
You were still with the holding unit.
Yeah.
Where did you want to go?
Well, I don't really know. I didn't have really anything in mind really until it happened. And of course, we thought a lot of them were going to go to North Africa. It was that lot, but we went out on the boat there. We stopped at South Africa, Durban, on the way out. There's just one night there, strolling back on a boat again.
Okay. Well, let's just stay with Colchester for a minute. How long were you at Colchester?
Well, I got it on that piece of paper.
Oh, yes, I got your piece of paper. So, Colchester 1941. Oh, October to March. Oh, that's Castlewood. Colchester. And you went from Colchester, you went to embark, did you?
Yeah, so I went from, when I came back off embarkation leave, back to Colchester. And then that was on, I caught the train to go on leave on the 7th of December. That's when the Battle of, when I went on the States, what do you call it, Pearl Harbor.
Oh, yes.
That's why I remember that so well.
So that was 1941.
Yeah, that was December 41.
Yeah, right.
And so, then he came back from there. And then we went from there down to a place called Walton-on-the-Naze, that was it.
Walton-on-the-Naze.
Yeah. Now we did a lot of beach training there, swimming with kit and everything on. Mm-hmm. And that was when we got put into groups and we formed up for going abroad.
Oh, right.
And then we got our names, we all got called in and some were rejected, some weren't, and I was in a batch. I think it was about 32 of us, I think. And then we went, from there, we went up to Greenock.
Right. Were you put into a regiment by now, or you went up to
Greenock? We were still in the Somersets.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. So you went up to Greenock, and you sailed out of there.
Well, we started to sail out of there. It was on the... What date did we get up there? I can't really think date now. Because I know we went out, we sort of bumped us in going in the harbour, like, and we got pulled out of the first convoy and put back on the shore again.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they took us right back again to Walton-on-the-Naze.
Oh.
Still on standby on draft. The CO couldn't give us any more leave because any German could be caught, they'd go up on the next one, is it? And I think we were caught to go up again at the beginning of February, I believe.
Right.
But we managed to get another few more days leave out of it after a lot of arm twisting, but...
Right, yeah. So, you finally sailed?
That'd be the 7th of February.
On the, well, I think he's got 20th of January, 42 here.
Well, that was the con we were going to go on.
Oh, right.
And then we bumped into this other vessel.
Oh, right.
And then we went back ashore, put back to Wharton on the knee, standby, and up there again. I think it must have been in February.
Oh, right. And you went up to Greenock, and what ship did you get on then? Do you remember?
Well, the boat, the second boat we went on was a ship called the Boissevain.
The Boissevain?
Boissevain. It was a Dutch... Well, they got away from the Japs out there, I believe.
Oh, right, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you set sail from Greenock.
Yeah. And then went across the part of the Atlantic, Bay of Biscay.
You were in big convoy, were you?
Yeah, there was 42 vessels in the convoy.
Yeah.
As you can see, these destroyers keep bobbing up down the cycle, rushing up for the subs and that, but, you know, we were...
So, had they given you any tropical kit? Or?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. We were issued with a tropical kit at Wharton on the Knees.
Right.
And then we had that in our, we had a, what they call a white kit bag.
Right.
That's, so, when we had the, that's when we had the old pith helmet.
Right. And did you know where you were going?
Well, not really. Not until we got in the Atlantic and then we didn't know at all. Then we got word from the sailors that were running the boat. They said, well, I think you're bound these for Bombay, I think, they said. But when we got halfway up through the Cape and all that, and away from the subs and that, and turned around then into the South Africa, mm-hmm. part of the convoy went in at Cape Town, and the other part went in at Durban. We only had about an overnight stay in on the, well, I said, some family people that were invited all to tea and all that, you know.
Well, and, the South African people?
Yeah.
So this was your first time abroad, was it?
Yeah. Lovely place, my lovely place. And of course, we were only there, we thought we were going to be there for a few days, but that wasn't almost, that was too good for us. And then eventually after about a day, we started again out back out into the Indian Ocean. Seeing the old flying fishes going about out there, and up through the straits by a place called Mombasa, I think it was called. You go to the straits and then across and then to Bombay.
You remember sailing into Bombay?
Yeah.
What was that like?
Well, it was a bit dirty, all, you know, all these black people running the boat all over the place, bugsies. And we pulled in there, we were there for a couple of days, and then they took us out to the Nut House in a place called Dullahy Transit Camp.
Oh, yeah.
That was where they called it, a Nut House out there, that's where they drove you mad. I said, you're mad. And we were there about, not very long, and we didn't belong to anybody, we got fed up too, so one day they came around and asked for volunteers to join the Gloucesters.
Oh, right, yeah.
I think about the biggest part of us said, well, we joined the Gloucesters, get away, to belong to somebody.
Yeah, because you've been a holding unit all the time, had you?
Hmm?
You've been a holding unit all this time.
Well, I'm not quite sure on that, my dear, to be honest. When we left the Taunton Barracks, we were posted to a holding unit then.
Mm.
And we were still Somersets, and whether we were in the holding unit or the 1st Battalion still, I wouldn't like to say.
Right. So you volunteered to join which Gloucesters, was it?
First.
First Gloucesters. Right. So what was it like then, suddenly to have your own regiment to belong?
We didn't, actually, as I said, the journey to get to the Gloucesters, we left the transit camp in Dullahy, and then took us by truck somewhere to a narrow gauge railway. We went up all through there and went on these sampans, you know, one of those steamers, and they took us so far. Then you were away to show, going to these Indian bashers out for a couple of days, and then eventually they put us on trucks again, and then that was the first, the last railhead then before you get into Burma, that place called Dimapur.
Oh, yeah.
That was the railhead, and that's where we went there from there then by truck up into Burma proper.
So when did you actually join the Gloucesters?
Swaybo. That was it there, look.
Yeah, yeah. So what was it like arriving at Swaybo? What did you see? What sort of a place?
Well, we were being bombed at the time, dear.
Mm-hmm.
We got in there and we were being bombed. Like, we didn't know what was happening, really. I think there was four groups. That Colonel Radish, the one I mentioned, he had one group had gone in. We was behind, like, so we went in. There was me... somebody called, I think it was a Sergeant Masker, I think, that we was with. And we made our way then, where did we go? What we call the Manipur Road, I think it was. up to that road, then that we stayed up there for quite a time. Then we went down into Imphal. Then that was, I remember Imphal where, because it was nothing there then. And then that was when they first introduced with our bush hats.
So, had you, I mean, you were with the Gloucesters now, had you done any training with them, or were you actually...
Well, we just joined them in the field.
You joined them in the field, right. So what was the first action you saw, apart from being bombed at Suevo?
I think it was Toucan. It was either Leadbatan or Toucan. That was two of the major battles. We were in them, I know, because we...
That was soon after you got there, was it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we were in a sort of a clearing place for a time, and then they put us in trucks again and took us further up, and then... Eventually, we got mixed up in these battles, like, you know, because you couldn't remember the names of so many places. I got them all there somewhere, but that book there, if I may just interrupt, it's a book that was written by a man that was in the regiment. I knew very well. I've written to him all.
Oh, right.
He was in the Foreign Office, and he had a good job actually. Right. When he came out.
So, can you just read out the title? It's called Then a Soldier by Peter Callister.
Callister, he's dead now. I still write to his wife, like, and they live in Sussex.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Right. But that's just a picture of him there, right? I'll show you a bit.
Yeah. So, what was the terrain like where you first went?
Oh, mountainous.
Mountains. Is it the jungle?
Or? Yeah, you go up these, right? You'd be up in the clouds 1 minute and go around bends, European bends. And we had these Indian drivers, and we got so. All on the back, we'd be chucked anyway, so any minute we could go over the bloody side. So we had a corporal in our lot there, and he said, well, we're having them all this. Get in the bloody, you could drive, get in the steering wheel, you drive, but of course, run all these bends, you go round up like that. You couldn't see what was round the corner, it went round. But that was a very dangerous road, that was going down. Yeah. I went up down there twice, I think.
Yeah, which road was this? The Manipur?
The Manipur road, oh. Manipur, yeah.
So what was your reception like at the Gloucesters? Were they...
Well, it was sort of a mix. We got somebody in that platoon, somebody in that platoon. And one of the things I remember well, because we covered these... We had, you know, the loads of cookery loads, we had one of them to carry. And we had instructions there all the time. You had to be on your guard. And it was a lie. No matter where you were in the camp, you could fire anything over people's heads or what have you. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, this is a bit... You know, it's supposed to get bloody hit like this, but... Anyway, we got used to it, you sort of spot, so you have to be quick. Because when you got into the jungle fighting the Japs, they were up trees and God knows where.
Right.
The stranger really have your eyes all over the place, like, you know.
So what did the Gloucesters, I mean, these first Gloucesters, they'd already seen a lot of action.
Yeah, they came out from Rangoon
in
December 1941.
So they were experienced...
They fought a rear guard action right the way up, and we joined them. Halfway through the rearguard action.
Right, coming from Rangoon.
Yeah.
I'm with you. So a lot of them, I mean, had walked all the way, hadn't they?
Well, I think it was only 1,000 miles between where they come out, and we finished up in Kohima on the way. That's where we got, that was over. It was coming to an end then. And we stationed the Gloucesters right back there in Kohima.
So were the Gloucesters pleased to see you, or did they think...
Well, we were just reinforcements, you see.
Right.
But nobody knew who was what and not who was who, like, and they were all sort of rough and ready blokes, like, you know, they were been through the mill, they thought we had to sort of learn to live with it, and turn up with somebody there and that, but yes, I'm right, I was in that lot, like.
Did you join up with somebody, you pal up with someone?
I had a chap called Gibbs, Ron Gibbs, and it took me ages to find him, and he lives at Clacton-on-Sea. So we got together the other year, we went out to Majorca together. It's the first time we've seen each other in 50 years.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. So, I mean, was he able to tell you, you know, how to fit in with the Gloucesters?
Well, no, he was the same as I was.
Oh, he'd come out.
Reinforcement.
Yeah. Did the Gloucesters think you were a bit sort of green, you know?
We were just, you know. But, you know, we'd been all through the bombing over here. We'd been on the coast. We'd see Dunkirk and that, so we weren't exactly green, if you know what I say. We knew what it was all about, like, and... We could all our own when it come to, right? But they were experienced living in the jungle, I suppose. Yeah. They got used to living in the jungle. That's something we had to adapt ourselves to.
So did they teach you how was the best way to live in the jungle?
Well, you just... I think we were a bit intense, and I think we were intense.
Right.
Yeah, very intense then. And all those Americans, their rations here are very meagre. The breakfast was a spoonful of rice, which got a dab of jam on it. And they used to have these tins of bacon. There was about 32 rations, and that was two little rations of bacon, one little ration of bacon. Once a week, like that, out of a tin.
Really? So you were straight onto these really
basic rations, yeah. And all you had outside, that was your corned beef. You had a tin of corned beef between three, with the air tack biscuits, like, you know. And that's what we was doing, digging part on the Manipur Road. We were extending that track wider for lorries and trucks to be able to go up there. And we just had this tin of corned beef, like, between three and it, some of it was from the First World War, I think. Because when you eventually got the tin open, it sort of ran out like juice, like, you know. But you had it, you was like, but you had it, all right. Yeah. And then when you got back to the camp on an evening, you had the same thing again, you had corned beef again, but in a stew, like, you know. And I think it was a British, but it's McConaughey's, I think they called it. McConaughey's, yes, that was steps of mixing, they put him in a stew. And that was your evening meal. There was nothing else then. Yeah. There was no nappies or nothing like that there.
The cooks brought this evening meal round, did they?
Well, we had cooks there that cooked the meal. We went back to the camp and had the evening meal, but at dinner times it was just, they come up with Dixies out for the tea, and you had a mug of tea, that was the best part of it, really. And you had your hard biscuits, which you carried in your pack, and your corned beef, you had a tin issue between three of me. Yeah. So that was it for, you know. That was that chap who wrote that book.
Oh, yes, yeah.
When he came out, he finished out, he was working for the Foreign Office, you know.
Oh, yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, lovely.
We got to know one another pretty well, wrote you, you know.
Mm. So where did you see your first action, I suppose, on the Manipur Road?
Okay.
The convoy was coming out.
I'm not sure it was, because I know the Gloucester's first action was just outside of Rangoon, it was a place called Prome. Mm-hmm. And then that was a roadblock there, we couldn't get through. I got to know one of the officers well. His name was in there, Captain Bernard Lee. Mm. He was with C Company, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Well, when he came further, I joined up. I got to know him very well, you know, as an officer.
Yes.
But he was a stockbroker in London, really.
Oh, right. What rank was he?
He was a lieutenant then he went up to major eventually.
Right. How did you get to know him?
Only by being in the regiment. He was one of the officers in the regiment. Because he joined the regiment out there in Rangoon in 1938. Mm-hmm. He went for the artillery training officers school in London, like one of the top people, the artist rifles, they call them.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Heard of them?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
So he was quite a friendly chap then, was he?
Yeah. Well, from there on, like, we went back, as I said, when we got back to Kohima, we were all formed up again there before we were moved out. Because we were all bits, wrecks and pieces, what was left of us. And then eventually they took us down to a hill station called Shillong.
Oh, yes. So tell me where you first saw action.
I can't think the name of the place.
It was on the Manipur Road, was it?
That was one. The other places were the oil fields where there were oil fields. I got the name of it here somewhere.
Yeah, that's and, okay, we
can
find that.
They had just all the oil wells, but I destroyed all them, and a party of us Gloucesters went in there. But I put all this dynamite in there and blow it all up.
So how did you do that? Was this oil fields where they were?
Well, they were our property. They were our property. We had to destroy them to see the Japs getting them.
Was this an oil store?
No, it's fields of oil wells, proper oil wells. Yeah.
Right.
So we had to destroy all that, the wells.
So how did you destroy it?
Well, with these bombs and everything, and grenades and whatever, you put them down and just build all the working parts and pieces so that we couldn't use it anymore. And then gush that all the oil gush out. Which is what we gave away out there.
Yeah. So where did you first see action then? Where were you first shot at, and where did you first shoot at someone?
I got to think, but I think it's Pamu, I think it was. I got it in here somewhere.
Can you remember, doesn't matter as much where it is, can you remember exactly what happened, what the lie of the land was like, and where
well,
you
what
were?
We'd done there, it was a stand to on an evening in the jungle. Slit trench, what have you. And we stand to about late evening, on duty there all night, washing out, in front of the open spaces where the chaps were coming through. And I think a couple of times they come through there, like we had a pot shot back at them and all that, you know, and they were obviously, we were obviously outnumbered. So all you could do was do a short action, right? A few shots, a few bangs, and then get back out the bloody way of it. We were withdrew out of it then, back to the neck, because then we were acting as a rear guard battalion for the whole of Burma. Because the other regiments that were out there were the Coilis, Cameroonians, and the West Yorkshires, I believe, in that up there.
Did you meet any of them, or did you just hear them?
Well, I fought alongside a lot of them. Yeah. Brilliant blokes, them Yorkshire chaps.
So did you come across roadblocks?
I was trying to think that one. I think it was either Leadbatan or Tucon. I can't remember which one it was now. Wayne Buck was after a while, though.
Never mind. Tell me what happened. Never mind where it was.
No, what you do, these chaps, you put a block down there so that nobody could get through, and then this roadblock ought to be dislodged. Well, I think at that time, I think we had a few Bren gun carriers that would use them as a fighting force in front, and then you go in behind them, like, and try and push the chaps out of that position before you could go on any further, like.
So how would you go in
the
Bren carriers?
Well, some in the Bren carriers, and of us were walking by the side of them, like. Right.
Do you feel a bit vulnerable walking down the road like
yeah,
that?
Yeah. Well, I think you were alert, but you sort of like this all the time, you're going to get a bang out, you're going to they were up trees and God knows where, like, you know, they just take a shot. You didn't know where it come from, but it was up there somewhere. I've seen a couple of them shot out the trees there, like, you know.
What, were they their snipers, were they?
Yeah.
Was that quite frightening?
Well, it was in a way, but can I say this? A couple of the earlier battles that I wasn't in, the other part of the battalion, where the Japs had taken some of our blokes prisoners, and then when we got back, perhaps a couple of days after, we found all these bits of ours being strung up and bayoneted, like, you know. Of course, any Jack then was a good one, was a dead one, that was as sure as eggs that was. But
did you see those men strung up?
Yeah. Barbed wire strung up, remember? Just use it for bayonet practice. They go on like that for a couple of days until he was dead, like, you know. Because the Japs, a prisoner was a, you know, should never be a prisoner who should fight to the last, because their object was you fight until you die, and that was it. And they thought we ought to be the same, like. Of course, they were bullets, weren't they? They were potty, really. And Richard Kamikaze, that as well, in the later years.
Mm. So, where did you see your first Jap soldier close up, as it were? I mean, they were flitting about, weren't they?
Yeah, I've got to think that anyway. It was out of Leadbatan, a place called Leadbatan. There's that book up over there somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was Leadbatan, Palouse, of course.
It doesn't matter where it was exactly. If you can tell me what it was like, you know, how you came to see him.
You had to be surprised. Shots were coming from somewhere, and you had to be ready to bang back somewhere, like, you know. I mean, sometimes they came in hordes, like, you know, and you had to sort of shoot down as many as you could. And then after you had so many there you couldn't beat them, then we withdrew then to the next point a bit back, formed up again in another trench. And that's how this went on. I think we marched from out of there, we marched nearly 300 miles back to Kohima.
Really?
Yeah.
That was quite hard. Were there any civilians in the convoy?
Well, a lot of refugees, like, you know.
Yeah.
But these Burmese, they were treacherous, they were.
Were they?
Treacherous. They'd give the game away. They'd light fires, like, in certain places. They'd give the positions of the Jats where we were, like, you know. Oh, they were treacherous. Well, these Burmese, really, it was a dead end, really, as far as we was concerned.
Really?
We shot a few of them ourselves,
did you? Did you? Why was that?
Because they were giving our positions away all the time to the Japs, as it were.
Do you think they meant to do that, or...?
Well, it was their country, I suppose, but at that time, if you can remember rightly, the Indian government or the Indian people wanted independence. And a lot of them joined up on the Japanese side.
Did they?
A bloke called Bose, somebody, got these Indians together into a sort of an army, fighting alongside the Japs against us. And then because we had the riots out there, I think that was in 42, though that was another nasty thing. Because you formed up in the street there. The civilian magistrates would come out, argy bargy, and then if they couldn't hand it, they hand it over to the military. Our instructions were to get live ammunition. As you said, well, you went, you fired three shots, you fired. The first volley was over their heads. There were thousands of them coming. The next one, you had to fire halfway down, like, around the kneecaps and that, or in the legs, but of course, after shots went pretty well, but it went right now. And that was starvation at Rebel Sensei. Very cool. The food out there, they were starving. I suppose we were intruders in their country, in a way. That's the way they looked at it. Although we were fighting there for their rights and well-being for the future against the Japs. Well, eventually, the Indian regiments, like the Sikhs, and all these sort of regiments, they were all on our side fighting in the jungle against her. Because I was actually, I was in the 17th Indian Division.
Right.
That was General Slim's stuff.
Yeah. So where was it that you had to shoot over the heads of the crowd?
I think it was somewhere just outside Calcutta, I believe.
Oh, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll just try and stay chronological here. So when you got to Kohima, that was safety, was it?
Well, that was it. That was before the big battle of Kohima, that was.
Right.
That was before that we got there.
Tell me what Kohima was like when you got there then.
Well, it was just fields and nothing there, only tents behind there. Because we only stayed there a couple of days and he got us back there and got us together in tents because I knew a couple of chaps that was in a lot that I was going down with my mess to get me food and I thought it was a bit late getting me mess. And as I was walking out the tent, walking down to where the grub was being shot, I heard a shot go out. And then I was back, one of our boys went and shot himself.
No, someone in your tent?
Well, it's that bad news at the moment, so I don't. Yeah, the rifle, he put the rifle up between his legs and his mouth and blew his brains out.
Goodness me. That must have been a bit of a shock for all of you.
Well, I think in those days you accepted anything, dear. Mm-hmm. You accepted anything, you know, it was sort of, you know. But what do you think about it now? You think, so, well, was it ever bloody right? Was it ever worth it? Mm-hmm. And the best part about it, well, what had come out, I thought was after 7 years of service, £78 and them shillings. For 7 years of my life.
So, tell me about Kohima then. There were tents there when you got there.
Yes, but so we were only there a brief spell.
Yeah.
Out in a field, big fields there somewhere. And they had this cooking section going on there to feed the troops and all that. And then eventually we were packed up into trucks again. And we went from there back to that other place I said, was it Shillong?
Yeah.
And that was a little hill station there. In there were the Coilies, Cameronians, Gloucesters of West Yorkshire, I think it was. And that was a holding place, like, to get put together, get it, go back in again, like, you know.
Right. So how long were you at Shillong?
Not too long, but for Shillong. Down to Calcutta, I think, did I have done my list? Because we were something and nothing of a battalion then, we had to get reorganised and reinforced, and so they took us back to Calcutta on garrison duties then.
Right, so it's a garrison at Calcutta. You're at Shillong.
Yeah, well, then back to garrison in Calcutta.
Shillong in 43.
And when we got back there, because I had administrative experience, I got detailed off to go down into this Alipore transit camp, and the man in charge of the BOR section, there was Captain Lee, who I was with up there. So we knew each other fairly well.
Yeah.
Oh, he was a smart chap, a great big chap he was.
So what were you doing at Calcutta then? You were.
Well, I was out of this transit camp. We had to look after the ordinary room. Mm. I was acting as ordinary room sergeant there.
Yeah.
For a time, because I was taking all the pay books and making up the payroll and all this and everything else.
Really? Yeah.
So I was had all that experience, I suppose. But I know we had an incident there one night from the ordinary room and.
Tell me that in just a minute. This is Fred Jane, end of reel 2.